The bass!
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
What a schmuck!
Here we go with episode 146. And I know the first 145 were good, but nothing compared to this one.
They're all terrible.
And you may not know it, but I put a lot of time and effort into these things. And I gotta ask myself most of the time, why?
Good question.
Because I'm sure not making any money off these things. And a lot of times I even wonder if anybody cares if I'm doing these things.
The answer's no.
It's like when I get a new episode done, I'll put it up on Facebook and make a big announcement, and I'll get about 25 people liking that. And I'll think, well, that's okay. Maybe people are just too busy or something. But then I go and put up a picture of my cat and it gets 150. But just about the time I'm discouraged and I think no one's listening, I get a really nice email from one of you guys saying, Monty, I love the show. And that's when I remember, oh yeah, that's why I'm doing this, and I'm going to keep on doing it.
This is terrible news, ladies and gentlemen.
So thanks to everyone who listens and supports me. I really appreciate it, and I'm so glad you like what you're hearing. Because it's like I've always said, if I can bring a smile to one person's face or bring a little happiness into their mundane, miserable existence, well, I've done my job.
What do you mean by that?
But enough of my sentimental, mushy talk. Let's get things kicked off with a segment I haven't done in a while called The Battle of the Bands.
I don't want to hear this crap.
If you're not familiar with this segment, it's where you, the listeners, send me your songs, and then I do my best to refrain from making fun of you.
A nice guy.
So let's get it started with a submission from Travis Michael in Arkansas. And this was recorded back in 2003, and Travis said that he finished the song on the 9th of June. And so the name of the song is The 9th of June. But not the 9th of June that I wrote.
I'm very confused.
So here you go. Let's check it out. Okay, first of all, this has got a nice vibe to it, so I like it. Kind of reminds me of some of the old demos I used to do before I was even in a band. But second of all, Travis says that he recorded this on his laptop while he was on deployment in the Air Force. And I have the utmost respect for the people who have served this country. And therefore, Travis gets another song played.
That's not fair.
His next submission is another instrumental called Generic E. Well, that is a catchy tune. Good job, Travis, and thanks for listening to the Rockcast. Next up is a track from Gary in Baltimore from his former band Bone Dance, and it's called It's You.
Take me from this disease, help heal this heart. Don't wanna be like you.
Bulgarian Baltimore is the drummer in that band, and he is obviously a good one. And I like the harmony vocals too, Gary. Good job. Next up is a selection from Brandon Webb and his solo project, The Spiral Glare. It's an acoustic tune called Ellen DeGeneres.
Huh?
Economy sucks. I'm stuck in a rut. Been laid off for a year. I'm trying to contact Ellen DeGeneres, but I haven't heard back from her. Ellen DeGeneres is a selfless soul. She's so generous to people in the world.
Well, I gotta say, the first time I ever heard this, I thought, this is weird. And then I walked away and realized I cannot get this song out of my head.
So here I am, right before you, down on my luck, but it's all cool. Not in my time, yet in God's time, everything will be alright. Because Ellen DeGeneres is a selfless soul. She brings happiness.
You know, I love the message of this song. If your life sucks, in fact, if everything sucks, it doesn't matter. Why? Because Ellen DeGeneres is a selfless soul.
That's true.
I've always said that, and I think that's a lesson we all can learn.
Ellen DeGeneres is a selfless soul. She's so generous.
And the final contestant of the Battle of the Bands is Gray Fowler, and the name of his song is called Power. All right, Gray, some nice rockin' stuff there. But it's time to pick a winner in this round, and you guys were all great, but I gotta go with Brandon Webb and Ellen DeGeneres.
How can this happen?
And he will be moving on to the second round, which will begin in a future episode. Thanks to everyone who sent in a song, I appreciate it, and this has been the Battle of the Bands. I got a very interesting question the other day, and it was from my wife's dad, and that would make him my father-in-law. But I'm not sure he wants me to call him Dad because, after all, we're around the same age and he's somebody that I could have gone to high school with.
Huh?
But Mike is a great guy and we get along great. And after all, he is responsible for the most awesome woman on Earth, which would be Lindsay, my wife. So I will always be grateful to him for that. And I also appreciate the fact that he listens to this show. And so I'm going to try and answer his question, which was, hey, Monty, what would be your three favorite bands of all time?
It's the simplest question in the world.
And, you know, I thought about it, and it is almost impossible to answer that.
Dumbass.
There's so many bands that I love, and it would be hard to narrow it down to even 10. And so what I thought I'd do is give you my top three from each decade.
All of this is so, so unnecessary.
I'm going to start out in the 60s when I was a little kid. And they would be the Beatles, the Oak Ridge Boys, and probably the Banana Splits.
What?
And if you don't know who the Banana Splits were, well, it was a cartoon show, and it was these guys dressed up in animal costumes. And that may sound lame to you, but as somebody said the other day, they're still a better band than One Direction.
That's correct.
Moving on to the 70s, and man, this is really hard. Because that was such a great era, and there were so many bands that I loved. But I'm going to say Thin Lizzy, Wishbone Ash, and probably Blue Oyster Cult. However, also right there as honorable mentions would be Kansas and Ted Nugent and early Rush.
I'm an old man!
Now, the 80s is tough because I went through so many phases, and I liked everything from new wave to punk to metal. And there was some really horrible stuff in the 80s, and there was also some great stuff. And the three bands that I probably loved the most were The Producers, which was a very poppy new wave kind of band, and The Replacements. But by the end of the 80s, I was a full-on Metallica freak. Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets were absolute masterpieces, and I thought I was listening to the most incredible invention in the history of mankind. Honorable mentions for the 80s would probably be Megadeth. I was really into them too. And also ZZ Top. I was a big Top fan.
I heard that.
Now in the 90s, there was only really one band for me, and that was the Wild Hearts. I discovered them around 93, and they were everything I had ever wanted in a band. They could be pop or heavy or progressive, and it all worked. But outside of them, there were just other bands that I kind of liked. Nobody that I was just obsessed with. But if you forced me to pick somebody else, I would probably go with Helmet and maybe The Pursuit of Happiness. How about that? People always ask you why you're so serious. Cause your woman's got a body that would make most men delirious. Yeah, she's got a body and that you're painfully aware. So every time. Now, from 2000 to 2010, I'm going to go with Killswitch Engage. They're definitely one of my favorite bands of all time. And I will also say Scary Kids Scaring Kids. And my third choice would be Seosin. Now, in the last 4 or 5 years, some of my favorites have been Ice Nine Kills, Of Mice and Men, Secrets, We Came as Romans, and all kinds of bands like that.
You're a weirdo. You're a loon.
So that's my list, and I'm sticking to it.
Even we never dreamed it would be this bad.
So those are some of my favorite bands, but if you were to ask me who are some of my biggest influences... Well, I would include Pete Townshend and The Who, and I would say Cheap Trick and The Ramones, and none of those bands actually made my favorite band list.
Thank God for that!
So, like usual, I'm a total weirdo, but thank you, Mike Colley, for the cool topic. And also, thank you for being a very cool father-in-law. In the past, every girl I ever dated, their father always hated me. And it didn't matter that I was one of the most straight-laced guys in the world. I had long hair, I played music, and I was an artist, which meant I was completely worthless.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, also recently, I got an email from Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And for some reason, David thinks I hate him.
No!
Yeah, and I don't know how you got that idea, David. I mean, you seem like a nice guy, and you've always contributed so much to my podcast.
Not!
And in fact, you sent me another MP3.
Wow.
On the last episode, I talked about a couple of the Galactic Cowboy joke songs that we did, but I did not play the Louisiana jazz tune that we did called Anything You Want. And so David sent me an MP3 of that, and here it is now.
This would be Anything You Want. Take number one. Cajon.
What's the date, man?
The date is 25th of October, 1982. That means you. Anything you want, or do you? Is anything you want? Is anything you want? Anything you want to be? Is everything you want to be?
That still cracks me up. And we did that when we were recording Space in Your Face. And that's me doing a Leon Redbone impersonation. And Alan was on the clarinet. And that's actually the legendary Fletch Wiley on trumpet. He used to play with Andre Crouch. And we were just goofing around in the studio one day and decided to record that. But thanks to David for sending that in.
I can't stand this guy.
Now here's something else for you Galactic fans. This is a top 10 list sent in by David Haynes. And Dapper Dave has sent me his top 10 products that sound like Galactic Cowboy songs that never made it to Walmart. And it starts out at number 10 with Mars Ranch Dip.
Delicious!
Number 9 is Tranquility Seaweed. Get it? Seaweed Tranquility, Sea of Tranquility.
I don't get it!
Number 8 is Mrs. Leslie's Digestive Prune Circles.
Absolutely magnificent!
Number 7 is something that I would like. It's Red Sun-Dried Oregon Corn Nuts.
It's awesome!
Number 6 is Grandmother's Closet Girdle Protectors.
Isn't the name terrific?
Number 5 is Breakthrough, Pooping Medicine for Seniors.
That to me is tremendously exciting.
Number 4 is Ants in My Pants Itching Powder. Number 3 is Just Like Meat Vegan Stew.
What the freaking hell is that?
Number 2 is Bright Horizons Fat Burning Caffeine Supplements.
I don't care about what I look like.
And number 1 on David's list of top 10 Galactic Cowboy songs that sound like products that never made it to Walmart. Swimming in December Frostbite Rub. Well, all right, Dapper Dave. I love lists like that, and I've got a feeling that one may be a contender come March. And that's when I'll be doing the top 10 playoffs.
Playoffs?
That's right, so you've still got time to send me your list. And you too could be eligible for an amazing prize package.
The contents of the amazing prize package will be determined shortly before its delivery. All contestants will have the right to refuse the amazing prize package based on the fact that it may or may not be all that amazing. If upon receiving the amazing prize package, you experience high blood pressure, dizziness, or nausea, please consult a physician. Symptoms may be the result of complete and utter disappointment.
So that's the deal. If I read your list on the show, you're in the playoffs.
The prize package that you're playing for is spectacular.
Okay, the other night, Lindsay and I went to a concert, and I wasn't going to review it because it was Falling in Reverse and the Black Veil Brides, and I didn't really think any of you guys would care.
We don't.
But I decided to go ahead and tell you about it. And the reason is I got to thinking, you know, I don't know why so many people hate these kind of bands. But I hear people all the time say stuff like, oh, Black Veil Brides and bands like that, they suck.
That's right.
But I just don't get it, because when I saw these two bands play the other night, I thought they were great. I had a great time, and they're amazing musicians. Now, I won't say much about Falling in Reverse because I've talked about them a lot in the past, and I think you guys know who they are, and you know that I like them. And for any of you guys who like the Wild Hearts, I don't know why you wouldn't like Falling in Reverse also.
Because they suck.
Regardless, we got there fairly early, and the crowd was made up of a whole lot of teenagers. In fact, there was a section in the back of the auditorium that was just filled with parents looking at their iPhones and reading magazines. And kind of the drawback to both these bands is that they've got really good-looking lead singer guys, and every time they do anything, you can just hear all these shrieking little girls going crazy. But if you could get by all that, like I said, these bands can really play. Not only that, but they write really good songs. And the way I look at it is, you know, it sounds like these guys grew up listening to Motley Crue and the Misfits and probably Metallica and stuff like that. And now they're just carrying the metal torch. So how about y'all just get off your high horses and give the Black Veil Brides a chance? Okay, so recently on the cover of a magazine like Revolver or one of those, they had a picture of the singer from Black Veil Brides. They had one of the guys from Of Mice and Men, and they had one of the guys from Periphery on there. And the title was, "Is This the Future of Metal?" And people were posting it on Facebook going, "Oh, if this is the future of metal, count me out. And I'm going to turn in my metal card." And all I can say is, lighten up, Francis. Everything doesn't have to sound the same, and if you want to go ahead and listen to Black Sabbath the rest of your life, go ahead. I mean, I don't really care that much for Cannibal Corpse, but it doesn't mean they suck as players. And just because I don't like Justin Bieber doesn't mean that, well, yeah, he does suck.
Totally.
But all I'm really trying to say is keep an open mind. Some of these young bands are pretty good, and the Black Veil Brides are one of them. They had the whole wall of Marshall Stacks on stage, and it reminded me of the first time I saw Judas Priest. The guitar players were really good, playing a lot of ripping leads, and the drummer was amazing. So that's my review of the Black Veil Brides show. And they do have a brand new album out, but if you want a good starting place with them, check out the CD Set the World on Fire. Time now for a segment that I like to call What's on TV? Oh yeah, and this is a special music edition of What's on TV, and I will be telling you about some concerts and stuff like that that I've seen recently. But before that, I was on YouTube the other day, and I watched a couple of videos from KXM, which you guys probably know who they are. And I don't have that CD, but from what I could tell, if you like King's X, you will love them because they sound exactly like King's X to me. But the videos were pretty good, and one of them, Doug, is playing what looks like to be Obama. And from what I could tell, Doug is pissed off at the government, and I was down with that.
You're a racist.
Of course, I've discovered the best thing about YouTube are not the videos, but all the comments that people leave. And I guess it's one of the great things about music is that everyone has a different opinion. For instance, I watched this video by a band called We Came as Romans, and the first person was like, I was very inspired by this. And the next comment was, this band sucks total ass. And the next comment was, these guys are amazing, they're Christians, and this song was about Jesus Christ. And then the next person seemed to feel that all Christians and We Came as Romans are just a bunch of fags.
Very hateful, very angry.
So there was a lot of entertaining stuff on YouTube, but there was also some stuff on my TV. But like usual, it was the good, the bad, and the ugly. First, the good. Well, it was okay anyway. Metallica came on the Craig Ferguson Late Night Show 5 nights in a row. The first night, Lars and James sat down with Craig, and that was actually kind of hilarious because he pretty much busted their balls.
Ouch!
He more or less insinuated that they were old geezers now and family men living at home. And he also asked them what in the world they were thinking about when they put out that DVD for Some Kind of Monster. Because if you haven't seen it, please check it out, because it's basically them exposing themselves as the pompous rock star douchebags that they are.
It was a joy to watch.
However, they did play a song each night. One night it was Hit the Lights off of Kill 'Em All. The night after that, they did Fuel. And then the next night, they did For Whom the Bell Tolls. And I thought they played pretty good. It sounded all right. And it was kind of like watching them practice or something, like in a garage.
That is so incredibly exciting.
So Metallica was good to okay, but Cheap Trick live in Austin at South by Southwest was on the AXS channel, and that was really good. And I swear they've got to be in their 60s now, but Robin Zander still sounds amazing. Tom Peterson is still a god on the 12-string bass. And after all these years, I still love Rick Nielsen. When they came out back in the late 70s, he was one of the first guys I saw that didn't think he had to be a rock star all the time. He knew he wasn't a sexy pretty boy, so he just had a sense of humor and let that shine. And that always influenced me to just be myself, be crazy, be funny, whatever, but have a good time. And Rick Nielsen is still doing it, he still rocks, and so did Cheap Trick. They did stuff like He's a Whore and Gonna Raise Hell, and it all sounded great. Rick Nielsen's son is now the drummer, and they sound as good as they ever did to me.
And what the hell do you know, old man?
Now, the bad that I saw on TV was a documentary about R.E.M., and I'll have to admit, I only watched about 10 minutes of this because I've always hated R.E.M.'s music. But before I changed the channel, I still had not figured out whether Michael Stipe is just a raging douchebag or if he is slightly retarded.
Oh, that is uncalled for.
And so you've heard the good, the bad, and now the ugly. Once again, for about the fourth or fifth year in a row, I watched the American Music Awards, so you didn't have to. And besides being a really nice guy and doing this for my listeners, why do I do this? No, it's not because I'm a self-loathing freak who just likes inflicting pain on myself. I watch it because I like seeing what the general public finds as quality music entertainment. Because God knows I tried myself for about 20 years, and I was told, no, we don't want what you have to offer. So let's see what is popular and what passes for greatness. But don't worry, I'm not going to tell you about every single thing that happened on this 3-hour hunk of crap.
Thank God.
I'm just going to give you the lowlights, and to give you an idea of how much this show sucked, it was hosted by Pitbull. Do I have to say any more?
We could just stop right there.
So first of all, I thought it was interesting that this thing is called the American Music Awards. And yet, half of the people that won awards on this thing were either from England or Australia. And the biggest winner of the night was the English boy band One Direction. And they won for Best Pop Rock Band and Best Pop Rock Album, which apparently means that pop rock really blows.
You better believe it does.
They also won Artist of the Year, and they won the award for Artist No One Will Care About 2 years from now.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
That's a joke.
Now here's one that fascinated me. The award for Best Rap Hip Hop went to a white girl named Iggy Azalea.
Say what?
Yeah, I wonder how the black rappers feel about that. I mean, isn't that why they created the award in the first place?
Say what?
I, for one, am sick of the white man holding the black man down. I know most of the players in sports are black, and we've got a black president. And there's people like Oprah, Tiger Woods, Beyonce, and LeBron James who are all multi-millionaires. But now we want to start taking away the awards from the rappers? How dare we?
Oh yeah!
Especially when you're going to give the awards to no talents like Iggy Azalea. She's one of these chicks with a big old giant Kim Kardashian ass that looks like it's almost deformed. I mean, to each his own, but I personally prefer a butt that doesn't look like you've stuffed 2 large watermelons inside of your pants.
Dude, you're so racist!
Okay, I've got a question for you. Do you remember Christine Aguilera?
I think so.
She was a cute little white girl, and she used to be all over MTV. And she'd pat the microphone with her right hand, and she did a whole lot of when she sang. Remember?
Yeah, so?
Well, apparently she changed her name, and it's now Ariana Grande. Your kids will know her from Nickelodeon, but I know her as the singer whose voice I completely hate.
Ah!
Now, she is good looking, and I would rather watch her than watch Beyonce. But I'll tell you, and this is hard for me to say, But I would rather listen to Beyoncé than listen to this chick sing.
I can't believe I'm hearing this!
And listening to Beyoncé is like torture to me. But the other day I heard Ariana Grande coming out of the room of my stepdaughter, and I literally took my own hands and put them around my own throat and forced myself to pass out.
That's not true!
Anyway, she sang a song, as did Best New Artist, 5 Seconds to Summer. They're a boy band from England or somewhere like that, but they also play instruments.
That is a stunning fact.
You know, these kind of shows used to give out awards for Best Alternative Rock. And they'd always give it to either Green Day or the Foo Fighters, but they finally just said, screw it. And we're just going to give it to Imagine Dragons, who are neither alternative or rock. But of course, you got to have some country on the American Music Awards, so we got a live performance from Garth Brooks.
Yeah!
And after all these years, I'm still trying to figure out why this guy is so popular. He literally sells out every arena that he plays anywhere. But to me, he just looks like a fat truck driver that snuck past security and found himself on stage. And everyone in the audience went, yeah, I like this guy. He looks just like me.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the way our society wants our entertainers these days. I know we started electing our presidents that way, going back to Bill Clinton. He was like, yeah, I'm just like you. You want a party? And everyone went, hell yeah. I don't know if he'll be a good president, but he's somebody that I could hang out with.
Right.
And so maybe that's the deal with Garth Brooks. I don't know.
Yeehaw!
Anyway, moving on. The big award of the night was the Dick Clark Award of Excellence. And that went to Taylor Swift. Yeah. Funny stuff. Of course, I'm leaving out performances by Nicki Minaj, Mary J. Blige, J-Lo,
oh my God,
Fergie, and Selena Gomez.
Ooh, hot.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that amazed me the most is that despite all the theatrics and props and video screens and hundreds of dancers, this whole show was incredibly boring. And these lame-os are quickly running out of ideas. They can distract us all they want from the fact that most of them have no clue as to how to write a song. But when it's all said and done, there's no hiding the fact that these acts are hacks. And this has been my rap and my recap of the crap that was the American Music Awards.
Yeah, boy!
And now for a little Ask Monty. I got a couple of questions from you guys, and the first one is from Jimmy G in Chicago. And Jimmy has a question about my vehicle, the Hellmobile. And he says, we've all had car trouble before, but how does the radio sound?
That is a brilliant question.
Okay, well, Jimmy is referring to my 95 Nissan Pathfinder. I may have mentioned this in the past.
I've never heard of anything like this before.
Anyway, this thing is a total piece of crap. It's all dented in, and whoever had it before me must have been in several wrecks. And I've replaced brakes and tie rods and calipers and put new tires on it. And the other day, the thing that surrounds the steering column just started coming apart. And so I just took some duct tape and started wrapping it around to hold the thing together. And so you may wonder, well, why'd you even buy it in the first place? And the answer is, it's the only thing we could afford. And I needed something big enough that you could fit a ladder in there so I could still do my mural work. But to answer your question, Jimmy, how does the radio sound? Well, let me ask you, do you actually think the Hellmobile has a radio? Well, the answer to that is, of course not. There's a big space in the dashboard where a radio used to be. But no, it does not have a radio, so therefore I put my headphones on and ride around and listen to my iPod. But hopefully someday when I'm a rich rock star, I'll be able to afford something that isn't a total nightmare on wheels.
It's not going to happen.
The next question is from Dan the Man Cunningham, who says, "Hey, Monty, I need to ask you something that requires a straight-up, honest answer. Am I a dick?"
Yes, you are.
Well, that's a tough one, Dan, because I'm not around you every day, but you seem like a nice guy to me.
But also a weirdo.
I mean, you fly clear across the country to see Galactic Cowboys play.
Clearly the guy is nuts.
And you always bring me whoopie pies and corn nuts.
He's insane!
And you're a good family man, you work really hard, and I'm sure you've got a lot of talents that I don't even know about.
He does not.
So is Dan the Man Cunningham a dick? Well, I would say definitely not.
Yes, he is.
And several of you wrote to ask me if I had heard that Wayne Static from Static X had passed away. And yeah, I was so bummed to hear that. Wayne Static was one of my favorite rock stars of all time. He had a great style and he wrote great riffs. And the weird thing is that I was just on his website 2 days before he died. I was on there looking up tour dates, seeing if he was going to come to Kansas City. Because I saw Static X back in 2007, I think it was, on the Ozfest. And they were so good, and I wanted to see them again really bad. And unfortunately, I never will. And combined with the singer from Scary Kids Scaring Kids, this is like two of my favorite rock stars dying in the last month. But I will definitely miss Wayne Static, and here's one of my favorite tunes from Static X.
So I grab my shovel.
And that is going to do it for another episode of the Rockcast.
Finally!
If you'd like to check out any of my artwork or buy some of my CDs, t-shirts, or paintings, be sure to go to my website, MontyColvin.net.
Okay, yeah, we're going to do that.
I'm going to play you one last song by a band called Alive Like Me. I mentioned earlier that one of my favorite bands is Seosin, and these guys kind of remind me of them.
In other words, it's the same old crap.
But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more fun and excitement. But until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
The end.